racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Police have released CCTV footage in a bid to find three young men who allegedly fled the scene of a car crash in Western Sydney, leaving a female passenger to die on the side of the road. The deceased woman, who is Asian in appearance and believed to be in her 20s or 30s, was in the station wagon with the men when they crashed into a concrete traffic island and then a power pole in Chester Hill around 6:30 yesterday morning. It's believed the men pulled the woman from the wreckage before fleeing the scene. Anyone with information is urged to contact Crime Stoppers. Debate on the issue of penalty rates shows no signs of abating, with Labor already vowing to take it to the next federal election. Today marks the first day some workers' rates will be cut following a decision by the Fair Work Commission back in February. The changes affect employees in retail, fast food, pharmacy and hospitality. Opposition leader Bill Shorten says he will reinstate penalty rates if elected to government within 100 days of taking office. Public assistance is being sought to help find missing 10-month-old boy Hayes Knowles, who was last seen at an address in Melton in Melbourne's West on Wednesday. He's believed to be with his mother, Rebecca Pearson, and police say they are concerned for the boy's welfare. Anyone with information on the pair is urged to contact police. A man has been charged over a fight in which his alleged victim was set on fire in Melbourne's CBD. The 34-year-old faced the Melbourne Magistrates Court twice yesterday and was charged with a string of offences, including intentionally causing serious injury and conduct endangering life. The 36-year-old victim is fighting for life in the Alfred Hospital with burns to 50% of his body. It's alleged three men were involved in an altercation at an abandoned South Bank nightclub around 1 o'clock Friday afternoon. Two, a 33-year-old and the 34-year-old, were found hiding on a nearby roof and both arrested after emergency services were called to a suspicious fire on Hancock Street. The 33-year-old was taken to hospital with minor injuries and is under police guard. To the US, and at least 25 people have been injured at a shooting during a concert in the state of Arkansas. Local police chief Kenton Buckner says it doesn't appear to be terror-related.
Some sort of dispute broke out between individuals that were inside. An exchange of gunfire took place. We do not believe that this was an act of terror, nor do we believe it was an active shooter situation.
Thousands of people calling for greater democracy in Hong Kong have marched as the former colony marks 20 years since its return to Chinese rule. The BBC's Stephen McDonald has more.
A tropical storm has just hit, and yet it hasn't deterred tens of thousands of pro-democracy demonstrators from walking through the streets, calling for Beijing to respect the city's freedoms. Many of them think that under the one country, two systems formula, Beijing hasn't upheld its end of the bargain. And they're marking this 20th anniversary of the handover from Britain to the mainland by saying that Hong Kong is a unique place with an independent judiciary, with the right to gather, with the right to freedom of speech, and they don't want to see that eroded.
Also in news, NBA champion Patty Mills has been named Person of the Year at the National NIDOC Awards ceremony. This is AIR News. Cronulla have made a bold statement about their chances of defending their NRL premiership with a 44-12 hammering of fellow contenders, the Sydney Roosters. The Sharks leapfrogged the Roosters into second place after turning in their most complete performance of the season in front of a record crowd at Central Coast Stadium. Coach Shane Flanagan says he's immensely proud of his side's efforts.
We've been guilty the last couple of weeks of, you know, poor completion rates and poor starts. Got both of that right tonight, and it just showed in the scoreboard. When we complete and get a decent start, we're hard to handle. So it was a real back to what we know we can do.
A fast-finishing Richmond have pipped Port Adelaide by 13 points in a brutal battle to climb into the AFL's top four. The Tigers took Port's fourth spot on the ladder with a tenacious 11-10-76-8-15-63 triumph at Adelaide Oval last night. Richmond came from 16 points down late in the third quarter to overwhelm the Power, who are yet to beat a top eight side this season. In a high-pressure fixture, the Tigers made a decisive move from late in the third term, kicking six consecutive goals to stun Port. Tiger Dan Butler kicked three, debutant Tyson Stengel scored two, while Dustin Martin enhanced his Brownlow medal favouritism with 37 disposals, including eight inside 50s. Also in sport, a chronic hip injury threatens to cruel Nick Kyrgios's Wimbledon campaign before it even begins. Australia's top title, Hope, has revealed he's not even three-quarters fit ahead of his tournament opener on Monday. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, not surprisingly, frosty and patchy fog this morning. It's already a cold start to the day, particularly out in the west, but we're heading eventually for a lovely sunny day for this cold winter's morning in Sydney. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 17 degrees. Jim, what is the temperature currently out at Jamison Town and down south at Jindabyne?
Jamison Town currently, it's 1 degree. Oh, where's Jamison Town?
Penrith.
Oh,
cold out there.
Maximum of 17 at Jamison Town, so it's got some climbing to do. At Jindabyne, a morning frost, mostly sunny, 10 degrees, but an overnight minimum of -4 degrees. Rug up, everyone.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
Sky Sports Radio covers the very best in greyhound racing. On Thursday, we're off to Brisbane's Albion Park for the Group 1 Winter Cup. Host Jason Lincoln will have late mail and interviews Thursday night here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott offer the perfect Magic Millions Cup. Bred to be early and bred to be quick by champion first crop and leading second crop sire Smart Missile from group place two-year-old winner Highland Daughter. Our colts are half brother to Highland Beat, a stakes place two-year-old winner.
This is a particularly strong individual. Great family, winning mare, and I can't see any reason why he won't be up and running.
For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Win bigger with a trackside multibet. Combine runners from different trackside games and get better odds. So whether it's greyhounds, harness racing or thoroughbreds that take your fancy, you can select your favourites across all codes. Available for win and place bet types, as well as bundle bet. Look out for the yellow button on the betting terminal at your local tab and place a trackside multi today. Trackside, the game is always on. Gamble responsibly.
Milos Ninkovic now has the chance to win the title for Sydney FC from 11 metres. The Johnny Warren medalist, the best player in the league this season. If this goes in, it's Sydney's crown. Ninkovic scores! Dreams have come true!
Ginetti wanders off the rail, now with three lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Across the ground, look at Dugan fly high and bring the ball down. Johnson away to Chilvarsis, and he is over. That's 10 tries, and Test Flint
comes away to Boyd.
Boyd holds it back, steps twice.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
I hope you're ready for 3 hours of action here this morning, ladies and gents, on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. I'm just keeping Ray Thomas
you're
away with a little
away,
jab, jab, jab. How excited are we for this fight? Can you believe it? Jeff Horn, the fighting school teacher. 29 years of age, took up boxing because he used to get bullied as a teenager, and now he's fighting Manny Pacquiao. Yes, that's right, Manny Pacquiao, 11-time world champion across 8 different weight divisions.
One of the all-time greats.
Pound for pound, the greatest fighter in the world for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Those 5 years was about 8 years ago, though. So do we give our man a chance up there at Suncorp Stadium today? It will be the biggest crowd ever assembled for a boxing match in this country.
Is that right, is it?
Yeah. It's going to go past the 32,000 that was at Princess Park for Azuma Nelson versus Fennec, Jeff Fennec. Okay. So they're saying about 50,000 up there at Suncorp. Their pay-per-views. Now, it's really interesting around this because you never get numbers around pay-per-view. You know, they say, oh, you know, main event, how many, you'll never get a number, but there's some numbers leaking out this week about it. They're suggesting that it's going to go over the 200,000 mark, which will be more than Green v. Mundine 1, 2006, which to this day remains the highest number of people paying subscription to watch a fight. So that's what they're thinking of for this fight, Ray.
Actually, the hype for this fight reminds me a bit of Jeff Fenwick in the mid to late 80s when boxing was huge in Australia, and Jeff Fenwick was an extraordinary fighter at the prime of his career. Remember, you used to go to the pubs and clubs, they were packed out to watch the Fenwick fights?
Absolutely. I remember
going. I went to a few in Melbourne at live to watch him, and always
right,
a sellout. But the pubs and clubs around the country were packed out.
Well, I remember going to the Woollahra Hotel. I know, please don't hold that against me. But anyway, I was a young man living in the East. But
doing your best.
It was the Woollahra Hotel. It was on a Sunday, about midday. And it was absolutely chock-a-block for Fenwick versus Azuma Nelson.
Same with the Mike Tyson fights of that era.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. So it's got the same hype about it.
It has got the feel about it too, hasn't it? So we're going to be talking about that. Can you believe it? There's money come for Horn. He was $4.50 all week, and Manny Pacquiao was $1.20. Now it's $4 for Jeff Horn. Manny Pacquiao, $1.25. So a lot of local money.
He's got more than just what they term the boxer's chance here.
A puncher's chance,
yeah. He's got more than that because he's got great defensive skills. He's very quick. They say he's going to put on about 6 kilos in the lead-up to the fight.
Yeah.
So he's going to be physically bigger and stronger than Pacquiao.
Yep.
So you never know, Jim.
You do never know. We will find out about 1:30 today, we think that'll start. So we look forward to that. Gerald Ryan will be on the program. This is what's on the program. So Gerald Ryan's on the program. Raymond, just to clarify, after the win of Magic Alibi, we'll have our race replays. Mike Tomalaris will be on because we have the first stage of the Tour de France starting very shortly as well. Josh Parr got a bake last week from trainer Ben Smith. Responded, not for Ben Smith, but for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott on supply and demand in the Caloundra Cup. So we'll have a chat to Josh about that. Zorba will be along to give you his thoughts on the rugby league. Guess what, Manly fans? You're in second place at one stage last night. Currently sitting third on the competition table. We'll have a chat with Michael Ward. He is part of Triple Crown Syndications, and they are the owners of, or syndicators of, Gold Symphony. Gold Symphony, a good win yesterday for Gold Symphony. Phil Moss will have on the line. I think he's at his first training camp for Sydney FC. So we'll have a chat to Mossy. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, again, giving us all the latest. I'll tell you what, New South Wales got some injury concerns.
Troubles now, Jim.
I hope they don't have to go to the 21st man, because that's Dino. So anyway, concerns around there.
This guy's ruled out now, won't he?
Yeah, that's right. I'm prepared to rule him out now. ZNZ quiz, courtesy of ZNZ.com.au. Just score update in that.
Is it 12?
No.
Have I hit the front?
You have.
Jeez.
You've 13-12. Talk about fairy tales. We'll get to that very shortly. 13-12 you lead at present. Our legend of the game, given the fact that Wimbledon starts this week, and it could be a significant Wimbledon if Roger Federer has his way. John Alexander, MP, OAM. John Alexander is our legend of the game today. We're going to have a chat with him.
Carry Australia's Davis Cup teams from the 70s, early 80s, Jeremy.
Yeah, he played Davis Cup from 1968 to 1983.
Gee.
That's a span.
And he spanned across a couple of remarkable eras because he would have been in the Newcomb Rosewell Labor era.
He was.
60s, early 70s.
He was.
And then he carried Australian tennis through that period when those three greats retired from
Absolutely. Trent Lanscale will be on. We'll get a sports update from Tanya as well. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Son. So it's your calls that we're taking today as well. 1353 53. Get us on the SMS 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMS BSB. And of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. Lots of good footy being on over the course of the weekend, but I tell you what, there's some good signs. If you're a fan of the Storm and you're a fan of the Sharks, they just put the stamp of class on their performances over the course of the weekend. If you're a fan of the Raiders, you're in trouble. Massive trouble. In fact, trouble that I don't think you'll get out of. And season 2017 is fast going down the gurgler. But has been some good footy. And I tell you what, given that panel operator Hamish is a New Zealander, it's always nice to come in. And it doesn't happen often, Ray, but it's always nice to come in and have a little chat to Hamish when the All Blacks have lost, which is exactly what happened last night. Well done, the Lions, winning 24 points to 21. But the big talking point... thanks, John.
Albeit against a 14-man All Black team.
14-man. Sonny Bill Williams, the first All Black to be sent from the field in 50 years. 50 years. Just incredible. Good morning, Ray Thomas.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that was a massive... It was an upset.
Oh, Lions huge. They were massive outsiders. I think New Zealand were $1.14.
Because their form had been disappointing. But that sets up the series decider back in Auckland. Jim, you mentioned the Storm, 42-12 against the Broncos. They made a massive statement. The very next day, yesterday, the Sharks came against the Roosters, 44-12. They also made a huge statement.
Yep.
And I thought the Cowboys did last night. You mentioned the Raiders there
very
in desperate
good.
Trouble.
Here Morgan was outstanding.
Morgan and Tamari Martin.
Yeah, very good.
5-8.
Very good.
No JT, obviously, for the rest of the season. Morgan had man of the match. Cowboys 31-18. Are you prepared to say the Raiders can't make it now?
Oh, well, if they do limp into the eight, then they're not going to make, you know, they're not going to challenge for the competition, which a lot of people thought they might do at the start of the year.
Four straight losses now. They are sliding down the table. They win a minimum six of eight.
Can I just say
that finals.
This game today for the Penrith Panthers is huge because they are actually three wins behind Parramatta. They're only 4 points on the competition table, but Parramatta have a bye in hand. So this game today against South Sydney is absolutely massive for the Panthers, and I expect them to respond. So we'll take your thoughts on that as well. Are the Raiders gone for 2017? Can the Sharks go back-to-back based on what we saw yesterday? Whoa.
Has Luke Lewis got a contract for next year?
Good question. Don't think so.
He's
I know Chris Hyington doesn't.
Fantastic footy, Luke Lewis.
Imagine Luke Lewis at the Newcastle Knights. What an impact he could have there.
He has an impact wherever he goes. He's been a great player for how many years? 14, 15 years at top level.
Started at 17.
Yeah.
17 years. I think he played his first NRL game in 2001.
Remarkable player. And there he was yesterday scoring basically an 80-metre try.
90-metre try.
Speaking of which, Blake Austin's dropouts last night. Do you see how far they went on the fly? 60 metres plus.
65 metres one went, didn't they?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So... big dropouts, which, you know, if you're trying to find a positive from a Raiders performance, Blake Austin's dropouts is probably not going to... I tell you who is the positive, Nick Kotrick. Stop the fight, NRL Rookie of the Year.
Good player.
Oh, he's played so well. So we can have a chat about that. Looks like we're very close to a pay deal that's being done between the NRL and the Rugby League Players Association. Buzz Rothfield reporting today in the newspaper and on the front page of the Sunday Telegraph that the deal's going to be done, that the cap will be $8.8 million, rising up to $10 million by the end of this broadcast cycle, which is 2022. So that will see the deal being done. What hasn't been done?
Cricket Australia.
Is the Cricket Australia deal.
And cricketers are out of work effectively yesterday.
Yeah, I know there's been offers of mowing lawns and Uber driving for some of the elite players.
Who's been Kawaja on Twitter looking at Seek.com.
He was. Yeah, very good. I tell you what, there's Mitch Stark playing golf at Celtic Manor, which is one of the most exclusive courses in the UK. You need to be very careful, cricketers, about how you present yourself at this. Exactly. You need to be very careful. You have not lost the public relations battle, and that's hard. When they see highly paid sports people asking for more money, a lot of people say, hang on, what's the point? But they have been able to manage that to this point. You can lose it very quickly.
Do you think, Jim?
I think so.
I think they're actually losing that battle, so they have to be particularly careful now.
Exactly.
I think they're actually losing that PR battle. But today is a crucial meeting in Sydney between Cricket Australia and representatives of the players. A lot of the players are turning up for this.
Yes.
Surely, Jim, there's a way to get through this.
Well, they have to.
Dragged on for too long.
If you miss the A tour to South Africa, all right. If you miss the Test tour to Bangladesh, it's not great, but we can. If you miss the Ashes, if something happens around the Ashes, an unmitigated disaster for all concerned, for all parties, for the players, for Cricket Australia, for everyone. So we'll take your thoughts on that as well.
We've seen it in the past with previous major sports, particularly ice hockey. When a pay dispute's got involved in a season.
Yes.
Getting the fans back, they come so disenchanted with the game and the players and the officials when those things happen. It takes years to get those fans back.
Yeah, Major League Baseball's had it as well. All of the major sports have had it. Lockouts. The NBA had one about 4 or 5 years ago.
Correct.
Yeah, so
very careful.
It's not unusual in world sport. But you're quite right, Ray. You can lose people very quickly. 1353 53. That's the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Gerald Ryan.
Every morning, Racing HQ sets you up for the day's racing. And now on Monday through winter, host Sean Cosgrove presents the weekend start of the turf.
In regards to Caravaggio, how likely is that colt to be in Sydney come October?
Form analysts Ray Thomas, Paul Joyce and Dean Lester bring you the best racing analysis in the business. Plus a comprehensive preview for the day's major meeting. Monday mornings from 9, catch Racing HQ on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you could use it towards a brand new ultra-high-def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
It's just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal off anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes ASCO and Miller. Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Haddam is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just keeping Ray away with my jab. You know I'm a southpaw, Ray. Right?
I noticed that.
What it's worth. Manny and I.
Do you do much boxing training when you're playing football?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, we used to do a little bit. Mm. Yeah.
Enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, it was great fun, but no one was hitting me back. So that was just on the pads, you know. we didn't get in the ring too many times.
They're tougher sportsmen, I reckon.
Oh, very tough. Well, when you consider, isn't it unfortunate when you see a game, like a league game or an AFL game or any game for that matter, where someone gets knocked out? You know, that's most unfortunate. That's the idea in boxing. Knock people out.
Funny about that.
It's amazing. Horn is $4. Pacquiao is $1.25. If he was to win, it would be a fairy tale. Would you agree, Ray?
I agree. One of the great fairy tale sporting moments.
Based on that, we want fairy tale victories through the history of sport.
Have you got one?
Yes, I have. The 1969 Balmain Tigers defeating the South Sydney Rabbitohs in the New South Wales Rugby League Grand Final. Chock full of international stars. No Beetson for Balmain. And they won.
That was the famous grand final when they kept laying down, didn't they?
They did. I think they changed the rules after that one. Time off. Yeah. So there you go. There's mine. What about you, Roman?
The Miracle on Grass, they called it.
The Miracle on Grass.
The 1950 World Cup. A bunch of amateurs from the US of A.
Yes.
Defeated England 1-0.
Really?
True story.
Where was that World Cup held?
I think it might have been
South America?
Sweden, I think. I'll check that.
Oh, Sweden. Was that Pelé? Pelé's first World Cup?
No, Pelé was 58 when he made his first World Cup debut.
Right, as an 18-year-old.
Correct,
17,
was a superstar.
Yeah, right.
I'll check where that was, but USA defeated England 1-0 in most extraordinary circumstances. A bunch of amateurs.
There you go. Let's have your nominations. We've got prizes to give away, courtesy of Sony Music. We've got, what else we got? Oh, tickets to give away to the Panthers v. Souths game today.
Yep.
Okay.
10 and I going this afternoon.
Oh. You're right for tickets, are you?
Yes, we won't delve on that any.
Seriously, sporting royalty, ladies and gentlemen, sporting royalty. 1353-53, great fairy tales in sport. Mike Tomalaris up next.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, this Tour de France update is brought to you by Amart Sports. Amart Sports, home of the biggest sports brands at the best price.
SBS covering their 27th. I think it is Tour de France. The man over there who is doing all the heavy lifting is Mike Tomalaris. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Mike.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. If you're going to ask me about my fairy tale.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Cadell?
Probably. But prior to that, I'm a bit of a tennis nut myself. And I think Arthur Ashe's win in 1975 at Wimbledon.
Against Jimmy Connors, wasn't it?
I don't think he was favoured to win the title back then. He was quite old from memory. And who did he beat? Was it
Jimmy Connors?
Connors?
I remember that game, Mike, because he was the one who exposed Jimmy Connors' flaw when he was approaching net on the forehand. Not folding, but when he was having a chip and charge in off a low forehand, and that became the way to beat Jimmy Connors.
Is
Arthur
right?
Ashe exposed it.
Yeah. Arthur Ashe was a bit of a hero of mine, and another one that comes to mind is Boris Becker at 17 years of age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boom, boom.
I'm not sure if that was a fairy tale, but he was very young.
Yeah. All right, well, it's called the Tour de France, but you started off in Dusseldorf. Mm. Tell us about this opening time trial that kicked things off.
Yeah, look, it was a pretty eventful day. When you see the highlights later on, you'll see lots of crashes. You'll see wet roads. You'll see people holding umbrellas and rugged up. A fun season will be cool for the 1st of July over here. And I think the biggest story to come out of today wasn't so much the stage winner and the results on the top of the overall standings, but we saw the withdrawal as a result of a nasty accident of Alejandro Valverde, the Spaniard, the veteran Spaniard. He's been around a long, long time. He crashed into a barrier after falling over his bike on the slippery conditions and busted a kneecap. He's gone, and that's a bitter blow for not only Valverde, but Nairo Quintana, because Quintana was relying on Valverde to get him through the 3 weeks and possibly win this race. A lot of people went down. Luckily for Richie Porte, he stayed upright, made it to the finish line, but lost a bit of time because of the wet conditions. He was very cautious. Only 14 kilometres was the time trial today, boys, but Richie, I can say, made it to the finish, but he's in 49th position, 47 seconds down after one day behind Geraint Thomas, who was the fastest rider home today. Surprising for some, but he's a man of a lot of experience, and he's got himself the yellow jersey for the first time in his career. So a good day for Thomas, a good day for Sky, because four riders finished in the top 10, and one of those was Chris Froome, who was sixth fastest today and 35 seconds ahead of Richie Porte. So not a good start for Richie, but, you know, it's only stage one.
Yeah. Mike, Geraint Thomas, the first Welshman to ever win a stage in the Tour de France. That's history in itself. But Froome coming sixth, I think, in the time trial, sets him up again for a very good Tour de France. You mentioned Richie Porte, 49th. Yeah. It's only stage one, I know. But what do you make of that, the stage one performance by him?
Look, yeah, right. It's not disastrous. Mm. It's not ideal. I mean, Richie would prefer to be 35 seconds ahead of Chris Froome, given Froome's experience and successes in this race, which is vying to become only the second Australian behind Cadel to win the Tour de France. Not ideal, but look, Richie, we all know that Richie's got fighting qualities. If you cast your mind back to last year when he punctured in stage one, lost 2 minutes, and managed to, just miss out on the podium by finishing fifth. I've got a lot of faith in Richie. He'll probably take stock. He's got a good team around him. Like I say, not ideal, but Froome, what can you say? You know, 3 weeks ago, he did a Dauphiné, the warm-up race in the mountains around the Alps here in France, and it wasn't a good campaign. But, you know, we've thought about it. There's only one race that Froome really cares for, and that is the Tour de France. He revolves his whole year around lining up for this big race in July. And even though he had a disastrous Dauphiné, the warm-up race 3 weeks ago counted for nothing because it was all preparation for what happens over the next 3 weeks.
Hey, Mike, separate to the race itself, from an organiser's point of view, have you been able to note an increase in security? Because given the climate over there in the UK and in France at the moment, and given the nature of the event where it's so spread out and they're in many ways so vulnerable, the riders, have you noticed an increase in security?
I have, Jimmy. I have. Funny you should say that. We've got a truck here that we use to take. We use as an office, and to send out signals to SBS. And this truck, it's driven from point A to point B to point C. It follows the race. Tomorrow it'll be in the city of Liège. I noticed in the media compound where all the foreign media are set up, there were sniffer dogs everywhere, just sniffing around, looking for clues, looking for something. But you're right. This is a unique event. It's not held in a football stadium, is it?
No.
Where security is tight. It's spread over a small area in an enclosed stadium, for example, a football stadium. When you've got in a race like the Tour de France, which covers the width and breadth of Western Europe, as is the case this year, it's impossible to secure the event, especially when it travels through isolated regions and small villages. it's open to attacks, isn't it? But luckily we've had nothing in the past, and the race director, Christian Prudhomme, is doing everything he can to ensure nothing happens in the future.
Mm. All right, tell us how we can watch. I know there's live streaming available on sbs.com.au, and there's a highlights package show. Mike?
Yes, that's right, Jimmy. And for the first time, we're showing every stage from the drop of the flag to the time they cross the finish line.
Fantastic.
And we're on at 8:30. It's so friendly for Australian audiences. We're kicking in tomorrow, stage two, from 8:30 Eastern time. It's brilliant. It's so good. And, fingers crossed for Richard Ford. Long way to go, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, mate. We'll check in throughout the course of this Tour de France. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks. Mike Tomalaris there live from, in Germany for the Tour de France. If you want to have a look at those markets, overall winner, Chris Froome, now $1.90. Richie Porte, $3.75. They were $2.50 each
equal
of two.
Equal favourites, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. So after that first stage, 35-second difference there, and he has blown out in the markets. You can check those out at tab.com.au. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers now. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian. Really well.
I just want to have a chat to talk about Canterbury, but I like Jimmy, your answer to the guy asked about if Cronulla can go back to back on Twitter.
Yeah.
I like the answer.
I said yes, they can. Doesn't mean they will.
Yeah, there's only one better answer than that.
What's that?
Bet each way, that one, Jim.
Yes, no, maybe.
It's a bet each way, I think, Adrian.
Adrian, you start giggling, start setting the agenda on this program, mate. You will never appear on it for 6 weeks. You'll be banned for 6 weeks, okay?
He's getting upset.
Why do you take it personally?
He's standing
How would you like me to take it, Adrian? Adrian, get to your point about the Bulldogs and do it quickly.
Jimmy, you're a mad man.
Look, just with Canterbury, the worst thing, the fan fury at that club is just off the charts. And they've made a massive mistake in extending Des Hurtler. They have to sack him. They've got to sack him now. It's going to cost them a lot of money. But it's just... And then bring in DP as head coach. The thing about Parramatta, Jimmy and Ray, is... Mate of mine's a Parramatta fan. He rated his side, their performance, which was awful. Mm-hmm. A three or four out of ten he gave his team. He's a passionate Parramatta fan.
Yep.
And he thought Canterbury put in about a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much, Jimmy, just says so much about what a shocking...
Thank you, Adrian. We do take your points on board. Not many of them, but...
Didn't the Bulldogs pack monster the Parramatta pack in the second half? They could not get out of their own half, Parramatta, and they found a way to win, which was tremendous effort under adversity, but the Bulldogs were all over them in the second half. They were monstering their...
The thing about the Bulldogs is you can't... you couldn't question their effort, but you know what... The thing that's saving Des Hasler, and by extension it's saving Ray Dibb, is that they have Kieran Foran coming to the club next year. Yeah. Kieran Foran broke down again yesterday.
He did. Yeah.
So, the thing that you're saying is, next year we'll have Kieran Foran, it's not, as I said last week, it's not Cooper Cronk. It's not the lock that Cooper Cronk is.
It's not the panacea of all ills.
Exactly. Mm. Well put. Nearly called you Adrian then. Sorry, Ray.
Thanks.
1353-53. Doug. Good morning.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. I've got two things to say.
Yes, sir.
Far away, Doug.
Michael Morgan, good player for the Cowboys, and he should be picked for the Origin match.
He will be. Just a matter of where, Doug.
Yeah. And the other fairy tale one is Cronulla win the grand final last year.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a fairy tale. Yeah. Absolutely. Turn your porch lights out.
That's right.
Yeah. I had my birthday yesterday, son.
Oh, good on you, Doug. Happy birthday, mate.
Yeah,
CD pack going Dutch way.
Oh, geez, you've angled for that nicely, Dougie. Hey, old soft touch Ray Thomas.
CD pack coming Doug's way. Hang on the line there, Doug. Happy birthday, mate.
Look at Doug laughing like as if he didn't think it was going to come his way. Oh,
geez,
fair enough, Dougie. Actually, you know what? I think we've got Dougie's address, so we'll send you out a birthday present, doubling as a prize from this program. 1353-53, open line number. Looking for fairy tales in the sporting world. Jeff Horn taking on Manny Pacquiao today up at Suncorp Stadium.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you can use it towards a brand new ultra-high-def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
Just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal off anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes ASCO and Mueller. Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
It's English and Phil Swift fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Our theme today is fairy tales in sport, the most unlikely of wins, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Here's one from Paul from Greenacre, Jim.
Yes.
Fairy tale, Michelle Payne's Melbourne Cup 2015 on Prince of Penzance.
Perfect.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah.
Good one, Paul. That's my little list there, Jim.
Have we got a list? But you want me to do it, do you?
Well, you normally do. And another one here from Matt. Hey, boys, Aussie tennis player Mel Anderson, the first unseeded player to win the US Open and a champion bloke.
I saw his name last night when I was looking up John Alexander, Mal Anderson.
True. Yeah. True.
I saw M. Anderson. I thought, is it Mike?
Mal.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
good one.
Race replay time. Jimmy's favourite part of the show, but we saw some really nice horses win yesterday at Rose Hill, Jim.
Yep.
Again, little black book, get them ready here.
Yes.
I think you should write down this horse's name, Hugh Lalai, the winner of the Juvenile Opener. He's very promising.
400 metres left to run. In second spot, Uncle Rodriguez. Hulalai moves up under a hold. Heliosphere is next. Hulalai copped a bump there. Then followed Arrestar and Condor. Hulalai moved up, hit the front. 250 left to run. Heliosphere couldn't match his sprint. Condor is next. Then Uncle Rodriguez, but Hulalai dash clear with 100 metres left to run. Condor works home. Heliosphere boxes on, but Hulalai was going to win this a long, long way out from home. Hulalai by a length and a quarter. Condor second. Heliosphere third.
Waterhouse Bot Train, $2.70, so money in the market around. And the first of three winners for Jay Bowman.
Game on premiership.
Game on for the premiership there. What is it, 5.5, the difference?
Wins difference, yeah. Brenton Abdul's led virtually all season. We're coming down to 8 meetings remaining, and Hugh Bowman's not taking any time off. His quote to me on during the week last week was, "I'm going to try and reel Brenton in."
There
so
you go. Well,
it's game on.
3-0 yesterday.
Mm. Promising horse, Jimmy. Potentially Golden Rose Corfu Guineas type.
Yep.
Gay Waterhouse back in Sydney tomorrow morning, and so no doubt Gay and Adrian will sit down and plot a path into the spring for Hugh Lalai. The Winter Cup. Look, I know the Winter Cup to the Melbourne Cup is a long but a draw, but there's something about this horse. Darren Weir trains from France. He's going to continue to improve. Gallic Chieftain.
Home quarter, Araldo Jr. really after Iggy Pop now. Montauk called upon, Gaelic Chieftains into the clear, and then followed Destiny's Kiss, and so it is with Soviet Courage. 300 a run, Araldo Jr., Montauk, Gaelic Chieftain trying, and Destiny's Kiss, then Soviet Courage. It's Montauk in front, 125 to go. Gaelic Chieftain about a neck away. Yendall throwing everything at the favourite. Gaelic Chieftain driving now and got up. Gaelic Chieftain beat Montauk. Destiny's Kiss third, photo finish fourth, Soviet.
Dean Yendall had a double yesterday as well. So well done, Darren Weir. Getting winners in Sydney now, which is a little bit new for him, which is good. Now, so where's Gaelic Chieftain? Where you think?
They're thinking Melbourne Cup. He's not even in the market, Jim. But I remember there was a horse called Natsky in 1988. He won this race. He was a European stayer just settling into Australian racing. He won the Winter Cup. Mm. Later that year, all but won the Melbourne Cup, finished the closest of seconds to Empire Rose. So I'm not saying he's good enough, but he's an improving young French stayer who'll run the trip, that's one thing.
Just on the market, Red Cardinal, $13 for the Melbourne Cup. Francis of Assisi, who at $17, who many good judges suggest would have won it with a leg in the air if the Charlie Appleseed had run him.
Appleby.
Charlie Appleseed had run him in the race last year, but he didn't.
Hard man. So. He had enough. Very promising horse, Francis. I'm not sure if he's actually coming back.
My father was named after Francis of Assisi.
There you go.
He's a patron saint of animals.
That's correct. And on the third line of betting is?
Al Mandan. Back to back.
Last year's cup winner. Magic Alibi. Great training effort here by Gerald Ryan. Hope for getting on the line shortly. She was too good for Mims in a really intriguing TAB handicap.
400 left to run. Fickle Folly in front. Dope Babylon's under pressure. Memes goes past it. Now into the clear. Nudie Rudy next upscale. Pioneering Magic Alibi runs on out wider. Fickle Folly just from Memes. Magic Alibi upscale. Try hard. It's Fickle Folly and Memes. Magic Alibi's joining them with every stride. Memes hit a narrow lead. Magic Alibi's coming. Magic Alibi drew level and won. Magic Alibi by half a head to Memes. Third in a photo. Fickle Folly was weakening, upscale and heading.
Yeah, thrilling finish there. Gerald Ryan for Glenn Schofield got it there just in the nick of time. And, of course, Glenn knows the horse so well. We're going to talk to Gerald Ryan about that very shortly.
The other feature race at Rose Hill yesterday was the Civic Stakes. The Monstar trying to back up his June Stakes win by taking out the Civic. He almost got there, but a horse called Gold Symphony came from nowhere to beat him.
Top of the straight, 400 left to run. The Monstar Girl Sunday still at it together. Shiraz back to their inner. Zinzan Eddie, Sir Bacchus looking for a spot. And then follow Gold Symphony out wider with Invincible Knight. The Monstar and Shiraz, Gold Symphony starting to wind up. And then followed Invincible Knight. The Monstar in front, Gold Symphony's gunning out after it. Later slightly sweet, Gold Symphony and the Monstar. Gold Symphony drew level, hit the front and won. Gold Symphony won the Civic by a half to the Monstar. Slightly sweet third, Invincible Knight.
So Gold Symphony wins, and we're going to speak to Michael Ward a little bit later. So that was another win for Huey Bowman. P&P Snowden training there. I was on our Bacchus, Sir Bacchus, who just didn't quite...
Yeah, I was on
had
two.
The opportunity to.
He was carrying both of ours in.
Yeah,
one of the poor horse
couldn't get there. Sounds like you had a tough day at the track yesterday.
Have a tough day
really?
Yesterday.
Pressure on today then.
Got one for the day.
Okay, stand by.
The other big race I wanted to replay this morning, Jim, was up at the Sunshine Coast, the Caloundra Cup. Supply and Demand, a horse who a month ago we thought might struggle beyond 1,600 metres, suddenly runs 2,400 metres right out, was too good in the Caloundra Cup.
Paragon on the outside from My Diamond Tina. Neverlanders the widest down the outside. Supply and Demand of the 250 about three lengths in front. War Baby goes to the second. Emerald City is the next one. And My Diamond Team plugs home. But Supply and Demand of the 150 still clear. About three lengths in front from War Baby. And it's all Supply and Demand. My Diamond Team runs home late. Supply and Demand gets tied but gets home. Supply and Demand by two lengths of My Diamond Team. It really got home late. Very strong.
What would Gay Waterhouse know, huh? Thought Josh Parr when she pushed it out to 2,400, and Adrian Bott, for that matter. If you're thinking of the Caulfield Cup, Ginger Nuts at $15, equal favourite with Hartnell and Humidor. Mm. So Egg Tart is in there at $18 as well. John Snow at $18.
Supply and Demand, Caulfield Cup horse, maybe?
Maybe. Well, it's not in the market.
Yeah.
Can't see. Francis of Assisi's there as well at $26.
On-pace tough stay. They generally go pretty well in a Caulfield Cup, but it's a massive jump in grade. But they've done a great job with Supply and Demand, Jim, through the winter.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? A really good job. And never threatened in that race yesterday.
Far, far too good.
Yep, absolutely. All right, moving forward, 13:53:53. Time now for a break on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll see what's coming up.
Winter is here. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than by celebrating Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch while enjoying spectacular views of the home straight. Catch all the racing action, including the listed $150,000 winter stakes. Celebrate Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Book your place today at www.theatc.com.au.
Win bigger with a Trackside multi-bet. Combine runners from different Trackside games and get better odds. So whether it's greyhounds, harness racing or thoroughbreds that take your fancy, you can select your favourites across all codes. Available for win and place bet types, as well as bundle bet. Look out for the yellow button on the betting terminal at your local tab and place a Trackside multi today. Trackside, the game is always on. Gamble responsibly.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we go to our next guest, Gerald Ryan, this one's coming in. G'day, more boys. On today's subject, speaking about fairy tales, it's got to be Ray Thomas's comeback in the quiz. Great show as usual. That's from EJ. Good on you, EJ. There you go. It is. You were down. Oh, here we go. It's the fix is in.
What's that one? Big Shug from Manila.
Where?
Manila up near Tamworth, perhaps.
Big Shug from Manila here, boys. Fairy tale story. Leicester City winning the EPL 2015-16. 1,000-1 odds,
right.
Weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Were they 1,000-1 or 500-1?
Either or. Massive odds.
Yeah. And, it's better than the $4 Jeff Horn's paying.
Correct. Yeah. Still, that's you forget Leicester, don't you? They were a massive fairy tale.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of our guests has been good enough to join us, Joel Ryan's online. Had a good day yesterday, had Magic Alibi win at Rose Hill, and I want to ask him about affiliate one at Newcastle as well in a second. Okay. But Gerald's been good enough to join us. Gerald, good morning, and firstly, congratulations, Magic Alibi. I guess the key to her, Gerald, was the track thankfully improved during the course of the day. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, morning, Ray. And Jimmy, yeah, no, it was. She had a lot of trouble on wet tracks and bad barriers and that, but yesterday the track improved heaps from Thursday morning to yesterday morning, and you know, it's probably about as bad as she wants it.
Yep.
But you know, she was able to get through it yesterday. You know, she had a good ride, a good draw, good ride. She found the line good.
We haven't had rain for ages, but that's a separate issue to Gerald, why the track wouldn't be good. But if it's no good, I suppose you scratch her. Is she realising her potential finally?
Well, she's always had the potential. You know, she was placed in Sirocco or something first up last time. We probably took her to Caulfield, and she didn't travel at all. Didn't settle in up down there or nothing. Then she came back around a couple of fair races here. Lynch had nearly won on her one day here at Rose Hills, and then we took her to the Magic Millions. Same way, didn't even race her. You know, we brought her home. She wouldn't settle in properly, and that. So she come home, and you know, I think as far as travelling goes, or well, won't be happening again with her. But you know, she's got enough ability. There's enough races here in Sydney for her, and on the home track. And you know, like I say, the key to her is the drier tracks.
And Joel, yesterday you sort of mentioned that this mare probably hasn't realised her potential for various reasons, but you've still got that opportunity next season because her owners are keen to race on.
Yeah, that's right. You know, she could take a long space of runs and take along, and there's a couple of those mare races early in the spring that could suit her. You know, she'll have fitness edge on the side, and that we might just keep taking along with her. And like I said, the boys' is preparation. They don't aim her or anything, just win races and get some money back in the bank because she hasn't won for a long time.
Yeah, Gerald, how important is from Glyn knowing the horse so well? Because from what I understand, she's got a short, sharp sprint and you need to nurse her to that point.
Yeah, she can let down for about 220-230 metres, and it is important to know them. But in saying that, you've got to get the right run and you've got to get the right speed up front for you to be able to do that. If they sit up in front and she's 4 or 5 lengths back off them, well, it's nearly impossible to pick them up, you know.
And Gerald, I did want to ask about a Say You Think filly that won at Newcastle yesterday, Shifty Thinker. I know it was only a maiden, only 1,200 metres, but, gee, I thought she was impressive.
Yeah, she's starting to, she's a big filly, starting to get there. when we bought her as a 2-year-old, she, well, she's out at Stickle Me. I had Schiffer, who was very fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she looked very, very much like Schiffer. Looked like a fast, so you think. But she threw a lot to the schnitzel side of the pedigree. But after she's broken in and went to the paddock, she came back to change teeth, and she grew into a big filly, big, lengthy, stretchy filly. And she's probably just starting to mature now. She's turning 4. You know, they've been very, very patient with her. She did have a habit of hitting herself on a hind leg, like galloping the first 2 preps, but this time she hasn't done it, and she's starting to get there. I think key to her is the big track, big filly, big stride, not a great action filly, and probably the big track that helped me. You know, when you look at her form, even though she hasn't won, her best runs have been sort of at Kembla and Newcastle.
I thought she showed some good signs yesterday. Look, Gerald, terrific day for the stable yesterday. Some really promising horses coming up for the spring, as you were mentioning to me yesterday, particularly Minari, and we hope to get you on plenty of times in the coming months. Thanks for joining us, Gerald.
No worries. Thanks, Ray.
There is Gerald Ryan with that winner, Magic Alibi, yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. 13:53:53, the open line number.
Werther is right up to the task, and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount Helene Charisma inside the furlong. Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther, the horse of the year, is roaring away with the champions and Chater from Blazing Speed and Eagle Way. How sweet it is, Werther!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Well, this man made the trek up to the Sunshine Coast yesterday, Jim, just for the one ride, but it certainly paid off. Josh Parr has been good enough to join us, and supply and demand, particularly impressive in the Caloundra Cup. Josh, good morning and congratulations. And here's a horse who I said to Jimmy earlier, a month ago, we thought might struggle beyond a mile, and he had no problem running that 2,400 metres right out yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for that. And yeah, exactly right, Ray. It's... I had my concerns on just how far this horse could actually go as far as distance is concerned. And at the start of this preparation, I certainly didn't think I'd be winning a mile and a half race on it.
Do you voice those concerns at all, Josh, or do you just take the ride and say, well, hang on and let's hope we go okay?
No, I definitely do, and I did along the way too. I think that's a healthy relationship between a jockey, trainer, and owners. I think there needs to be those conversations to make sure we get the best out of every horse. But it just shows you just can't be too sure sometimes, especially when you're dealing with Gay and Adrian's horses, because they are very fit, and if anyone's going to get them to a trip, they certainly will.
And did the slow pace obviously help as well?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Once I found the front and we went out of the straight the first time and he pricked his ears and just found this beautiful rhythm, I knew we were going to be very, very hard to run down. And then we received no mid-race pressure. It was just absolutely perfectly run for us.
Josh, he's gone 3 straight now through this winter and he's developed into a stakes winner now over a trip that everyone's sort of surprised he did it and did it so well. Where's the ceiling with this horse, do you think, Josh?
He just keeps improving, doesn't he? He just keeps stepping up to the mark. So he's an exciting horse. I really enjoy riding him, actually. He's got a little bit of cheek about him, but when it's business time, he's really there for you and he gives you his all. As far as how high he could go, I'm unsure. I really am, and I think the opportunities are a lot larger now that we know he can run 2,400 metres.
Yep.
So that opens the doors up to a lot of different opportunities for the horse. But he's definitely an exciting prospect.
I was sort of thinking he might be a good lightweight chance in an Epsom.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Only no weight in his back, and knowing that he'll be really, really strong at the back end of 1600. I wouldn't put that out of his reach at all.
Josh, can we take you back to the Tats Tiara, the run of In Her Time? And the spray that we've been reading about that you got from Ben Smith, what are you doing when you... Are you trying to help Ben understand what happened, or how does that work?
Yeah, I am, but that was a situation... I think it was probably just a combination of the bad luck that they had received with the horse, and it might have just come to a head right at that point. But that was all right. We moved on. The next day I spoke to him, and he was okay. I explained the situation to him there and then, and then again the next day, and he understood the... Once the dust had settled, he understood the situation, that it was actually out of my hands what had happened. She stepped half a length blown and got absolutely poleaxed by the runners either side of her. So, and then how the track played, I was forced into riding her that way to try and make up as much ground as I could when the pace steadied. You had to be on the inside there that particular day, and I thought it was a marvellous effort to run third.
Yeah, everyone wanted it.
Could she run a mile, Josh?
once again, there's another one I'd be surprised with if she did, but she did run a strong 1500 in the Coolmore, so maybe conditions suited. Yeah, but I do think she's a better sprinter.
Yeah, fair enough. Good feeling. I know Ben Smith would love to get a start in the Everest if he gets a tap on the shoulder.
Oh.
So yeah. Look, Josh, a terrific win yesterday was supplying.
Yeah, well done, Josh.
And it's a long way to go for one ride, but it's paid off, and we really appreciate you coming on the show Sunday morning. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, guys. It was good to talk to you.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Josh Parr. One of our favourites here too, isn't he? Good fella, Josh Parr. Great to have him on. A lot of people wanted to tell us about their fairy tales. They're all very different, aren't they? They keep coming from left, right and everywhere else. Boys, Buster Douglas versus Mike Tyson, number one fairy tale. 1990, February 11, 1990. Tyson versus Buster Douglas in Tokyo.
Here's one from...
At the Tokyo Dome.
Des from Merriweather. Morning, boys. Great start today. Three sporting fairy tales. Maccabi Diva's third Melbourne Cup. We'll never see that again, Jim.
True.
Steve Bradbury's last to first gold medal at the Olympics.
Yes.
And the Sharkies winning their 50th year in the comp. You better write Des from Merriweather down.
Des from Merriweather. All right. Des, you're a massive chance to be a winner today. Remember, we've got Sony Music packs to give away, courtesy of Sony Music. And we've also got, tickets to the Panthers versus South game out there at ANZ Stadium. Three great league farewell fairy tales. Mm. Norm Provan's last game in the 1965 Grand Final after 10 successive premiership victories. Arthur Beetson's representative career farewell, leading Queensland to a 2010 win in 1980. And Johnny Reinberger, who only ever played one first grade game in his life, a 38-0 win for the Roosters in the 75 Grand Final. That's Eddie at Glenfield. Yeah, Johnny Reinberger was a very good cricketer, played first grade cricket for Waverley.
He played one game, was it?
He played one game, one game only, and that was in the 1975 Grand Final. 1353 53, the open line number. Keep them coming. Right now, though, for the first time, we say good morning to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at Mudgee and Nowra. Starting with Mudgee, the weather is fine. The track a good four. The rail true. And there are 16 scratchings. Out of race one, take number two, Cogito. Three, Snippets Essential. 15, My Burning Heart. And 18, Bel Rosso. 2, 3, 15 and 18. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, take out 15, Talk of the Town. 16, Stormy Benz. 17, Poet's Spirit. And 18, Quite Frankly. 15, 16, 17 and 18. Race 4, number 4, Queenian. And 8, Ginger Snap 4 and 8. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, take out 14, The Cavalry, number 14. Race 7 is clear. And race 8, take out 14, Rembetica. 16, Blitzer Bleeta. 17, Umungri. And 18, Moss Happen. 14, 16, 17 and 18. Out of race 8 at Mudgee. And I've just noticed a late scratching. That's in race 2, number 6, Leap of Fay. Race 2, number 6 is a late scratching from Mudgee. To Nowra, the weather is fine, the track a soft 5, the rail is out 5 metres from the 1100 to the 850, 3 metres from the 850 to the 350, and there are 14 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 2, Rolling Breeze, 10, Ibanez, and 15, Stravali, 2, 10 and 15. Race 2, number 3, Magic Dust, number 3. Out of race 3, number 1, Anne's Gift, number 1. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 1, I'm No Phony. 6, High Call and 11, Jostle. 1, 6 and 11 out of the 5th. Out of race 6, number 2, I'm No Phony. And 9, Mrs. Willy Nilly. 2 and 9 out of 6. And out of race 7, number 3, Chill Cotton. 6, Pure Rebel. 7, Quite Unexpected. And 10, Secret Mistress. 3, 6, 7 and 10 out of race 7 at Nara.
Thanks, Tan. Some tips today.
Oh, yeah.
Best bet of the day, Jim, comes up in race 2 at Mudgee.
Hang on. Best of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number 2, Four Socks.
Four Socks.
Might only be my only bet today because I'm that confident about race 2, number 2, Four Socks.
Race 2, number 2, you're so... All right, I'm going to change my staking plan then.
One bet?
One bet. I'm with you, Ray.
But if we get a bank, we can bet up.
Oh, then
today.
We can go, yeah.
Because
okay,
down to the last race, 8, number 10, Personable will be hard to beat, but really keen on Four Socks in the second. Number 2 at Mudgee. And down at Nowra this afternoon, I thought there was a good thing there in the last race 7, number 1, Addicted.
There you go. How's your strike rate been?
I only got one to me again last week.
I think it was
week.
A $6 winner, wasn't it?
Yeah, we struggled a bit last week. But this Four
worry.
Socks.
You keep making a return for the listeners, and that's the important thing in this one. What's it going to be, about $2.50?
No.
$2.30.
I might have been caught up in the ad break, because we've got $4.20 in the paper, but yeah. It might be shorter than that.
All right, let's have a look at that. Time now for the news after the news. Peter Peters.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Pope Francis has sacked the head of the Vatican office that handles sex abuse cases just days after he released Australian Cardinal George Pell to return home to face charges of historical sexual assault. The developments underscore how the Catholic Church's sex abuse crisis has caught up with Francis, threatening to tarnish his legacy over a series of questionable appointments, decisions and oversights in his four-year term. Pope Francis declined to renew the mandate of German Cardinal Gerhard Müller as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the Vatican office that processes and evaluates all cases of priests accused of raping or molesting minors. Francis named Mueller's deputy, Monsignor Luis Laderia Ferra, a Spanish Jesuit, to run the powerful office instead. NBA champion and fan favourite Patty Mills has been honoured for his work in promoting Australia's Indigenous cultures. The three-time Olympic basketballer was named Person of the Year at the National NIDOC Awards ceremony in Cairns last night. Paralympian Amanda Reid was awarded Sportsperson of the Year, while Queenslander Elverina Johnson was Artist of the Year, and podiatrist and researcher Dr. James Charles won the Scholar of the Year title.
This has been the biggest thing in my life in the sense of awards.
The biggest gong of the night, the Lifetime Achievement Award, went to veteran and activist Diane Ryder for her tireless volunteer work with Indigenous veterans in Western Australia. People living in the New South Wales Hunter Valley and on the state's central coast are more likely to be diagnosed with cancer, according to research. Nearly 38,000 cancer cases were recorded in the region between 2006 and 2010, with the second highest rates found in central and eastern Sydney, according to the Social Health Atlas. The Murrumbidgee local government area in the state's Riverina had the least number of cancer diagnoses, with 7,177 reported in that same period. Two men have been charged after they allegedly used a machete to attack a Gold Coast couple who tried to stop them stealing. The 34-year-old man and 35-year-old woman found the men outside their Coomberbar property after they were woken by a noise around 2 a.m. yesterday. It's believed the men were attempting to steal items from neighbouring homes and construction sites, but fled when they were challenged. The two men then returned to the house around 3:50 a.m. and attacked the couple with a machete, striking the woman in the face and the man on his forearm. Both underwent surgery at Gold Coast University Hospital for serious but non-life-threatening injuries and are in a stable condition. Overseas, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has told crowds celebrating the country's 150th anniversary that its strength lies in diversity. Trudeau was accompanied by Prince Charles as he addressed the masses at Canada Day celebrations.
We may be of every colour and creed from every corner of the world, but we embrace that diversity while knowing in our hearts that we are all Canadians.
The Prime Minister addressed Canada's history as one that's far from perfect, tinged with centuries of oppression against Indigenous peoples, and in a major gaffe, while listing the provinces and territories, he omitted Alberta. Also in news, a Good Samaritan has had his finger bitten off for trying to prevent a handbag theft at a pub in Sydney Southwest. This is Air News. He grew up idolising Mark Philippoussis, and now Andrew Whittington is following in his one-time neighbour's footsteps after gate-crashing Wimbledon with an improbable march through qualifying. Unheard of outside tennis circles, Whittington's succession of victories over higher-ranked rivals has propelled the 23-year-old into his second Grand Slam main draw of the year after reaching the second round in front of home fans at Melbourne Park. The world number 209 meets Brazilian Thiago Monteiro on Monday. Australian hope Richie Porte has endured a tough start to his Tour de France campaign, finishing 49th in a dramatic opening time trial won by Welshman Geraint Thomas of Team Sky. A wet first stage in Dusseldorf caused carnage, with Alejandro Valverde, a podium finisher in 2015, crashing out completely, while Porte's countryman Luke Durbridge, a strong time trial contender, finished second last after also crashing. In AFL results, West Coast beat Western Bulldogs 12-15-87 to 11-14-80. Adelaide 13-11-89 beat Carlton 12-5-77. The Gold Coast 18-10-118 were victorious over North Melbourne 14-15-99. GWS and Geelong drew on 10-8-68 and Richmond beat Port Adelaide 11-10-76 to 8-15-63. In the NRL, the Sharks 44 down the Roosters 12, Seagulls 26 beat the Warriors 22 and the Cowboys 31 overcame the Raiders 18. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
If you prefer to pay by card for small transactions like your coffee, then you should look for shops with the orange $0 minimum signs. These are the shops that let you pay your way. If you're off to the airport, give yourself a little extra time. Very heavy on Mar Street and Airport Drive approaching the International Terminal, as well as the M5 East westbound and West Botany Street northbound. In Leichhardt, look out for lights flashing Catherine Street at Moore Street. Along the coast, you've got a good run north and south, and approaches to the Harbour Bridge are smooth citybound and northbound. Receive an express Napoleon Purtis makeover and feature in your very own cosmopolitan cover shoot these school holidays at the Interactive Fashion Week experience only at Madame Tussauds, Sydney. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio covers the very best in greyhound racing. On Thursday, we're off to Brisbane's Albion Park for the Group 1 Winter Cup. Host Jason Lincoln will have late mail and interviews Thursday night here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney area frost and patchy fog in the west this morning. Sunny day, light winds, a 0% chance of rain. We like that. It's a maximum of 17 degrees in Sydney town. What about at Matraville, Raymond? And take us out to Mudgee. Of course, they're running today in Mudgee.
Yeah, Matraville currently just 7 degrees, so it's cool at Matraville, heading for a top of 17. Mudgee, have a guess what Mudgee is. We can see it. Sorry.
You can see it on your screen.
It's currently -3 out at Mudgee. It's a very, very cold start of the day. But they're heading for a top temperature of 15.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the title.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
Hi, I'm Susie from Delicious Dairies. We're proud to give back to the community by not only supporting our farmers, but by hiring people from Nova Employment who wouldn't necessarily get a chance. They are valued members of our business.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. We're looking forward to having a chat with Peter Peters very shortly. Might ask him about he's a massive fight fan, called a lot of fights back in the day, and especially around Jeff Fenwick. We'll ask him about that. We're going to have a chat with Michael Ward from Triple Crown Syndications, Phil Moss from the world of football. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, got some injury concerns, New South Wales, and we'll also do the Z&Z quiz. Just a score update on that.
13,
Raymond?
13-12.
Yeah, there you go. Now, the fairy tales. It's gone berserk.
It has.
Okay.
Mm.
Mark Edmondson beating John Newcomb in the Australian Open final in 1976. That's Don from Carlton.
Yeah.
What about this? Hi, boys. Number one sporting fairy tale has to be the tortoise upset victory over the hare. Jeez, from Muzz.
You know what? Don from Carlton, again, he's right. Two greatest fairy tales. Muhammad Ali beating George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. Because no one gave him a chance.
No. And here's a good one from Ben at Newey. Good morning, men. Damien Oliver's Melbourne Cup on media puzzle in 2002. That was a fairy tale because of the passing of his brother the week beforehand.
That was a very, very emotional day. I think it's probably the most emotional day I've had on a racetrack.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was quite an extraordinary sporting moment. Not a racing moment, a sporting moment.
Yeah.
So.
Keep them coming, 13-53-53. Want to speak to this guy, no doubt have some fairy tales, and one of them might be a Manly Premiership in 2017, the way they're going. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jim. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Hey, just before we get going, Zorb, your thoughts on Horn Pacquiao, because I know you love the fight game and you called a lot of fights throughout the course of your career. What are your expectations of today?
Well, if Pacquiao's fair dinkum and he's trained hard, I don't think he'll have any trouble with Horn. But if he's come here just for a payday and hasn't put the work in, he might find that the Aussie's very, very fit, which we know he is. And we've seen it too many times where a lot of big-time fighters, and of course he's one of the greats, Pacquiao. But is he in his older age? A little bit lazy in the training stakes. His training camp says no, and I expect him to win, but you never know in boxing.
Yeah.
Glorious uncertainty of it. I went to Melbourne to watch a young Tony Mundine fight a Mexican called Louis Rodriguez, and Rodriguez hopped into the ring. He was big. He was fatter than me. And he knocked Mundine out, and Mundine, he fought Carlos Monzon.
Yep.
He was no slouch. He was very, very fit, Tony Mundine, who actually came to Sydney to play rugby league with South. Went to Ernie McQuillan's gym and ended up having a great career in boxing. But Tony got decked in the first round by this unknown big Mexican. So I don't expect Horn to win, but nothing surprises me. I mean. The All Blacks got beaten yesterday.
Exactly. The great uncertainty of boxing too, Zorb. You just never know what happens when you get into that ring.
It only takes one punch.
It does, yeah. What about the Bulldogs? 13-12 losses, a loss against the Eels on Thursday night. This season just goes from bad to worse for Des Hasler, doesn't it?
Well, I reckon Desi's dogs are dead, and I reckon Ricky's Raiders are roasted, and who would have believed that at the start of the year? Most everybody had both of those clubs in the eight, particularly the Raiders, who were a game off the grand final last year, but they're not the side they were. And I saw bits of that game last night, and they really just aren't the side they were. They played a Cowboys side without Jonathan Thurston. I didn't give the Cowboys much chance in that game last night, but it's that time of the year, and I think we're seeing the eight really work itself out now. Storm's going to be the top of the tree. The Sharks, the Sea Eagles, and the Roosters, I think, will remain where they are, and probably the Broncos will have a bit of a say about that. Mm-hmm. Cowboys will make it. I don't know about the Dragons, and I think the Eels will make it. So that means maybe the Panthers can grab that spot off the Dragons. I think the Warriors are just about dead after Manly beat them last night, and the Rabbitohs today will need to knock over the Panthers to keep their hopes alive.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think the Panthers are the only side that can come from outside the eight into it at this point. Great crowd on the Central Coast too. Officially a sellout by the end, they get 20,060. The Roosters took a game to Adelaide the week before, they get 21,000. Unfortunately, Manly got bad weather over there in Western Australia, but I know they're not necessarily, Adelaide especially, on the horizon from an expansion point of view, but there's still positives in taking games to these other areas, Zorb.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and it was a shame that it just poured for the entire day yesterday, and it was still pouring when I left on the red eye last night. So that was a shame. We've got to go back next year. We've got another deal, another year of the three-year deal to go. So let's hope we can bring a bigger crowd there. But yeah, that was great in Adelaide and great again last night. Central Coast Stadium, it's a beautiful stadium.
Great stadium.
Right on Brisbane Water there, and yep. The Roosters done a good job on the Central Coast. I spent a bit of time up there these days, and they've done a really, really good job. They've got a great backup team at Wyong, which is a juggernaut of a country rugby league club.
Yep.
And they're doing well. And the only problem for them is they got thrashed last night. What? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
From both the Roosters and from the Sharks. The Sharks were comprehensively beaten by them. But this time last week, we're talking about the Sharks and the Seagulls, and the Seagulls put them to the sword in their best display of the year. But it obviously did the Sharks some good because they were so much better last night.
Yeah, well, the Storm made a statement on Friday night, didn't they, Zorb? And the Sharks answered that yesterday. And to be fair, your Seagulls were terrific. Down 16-0, slow start over there in Perth. And DCE again, Turbo Tom, terrific, and got up 26-22, Zorb.
Yeah, it's amazing how Manly in recent weeks have played the two teams that they love to play. The Sharks, who they've beaten before last weekend, 14 out of 16. And then the Warriors, they just had the hoodoo on the Warriors. That's 12 out of the last 13 they've beaten the Warriors. And in all up games, 30 games, 22 times they've beaten them.
Yeah.
So, and the Warriors went there yesterday, had a good talk with Steve Kearney. He's trying to work out the key to the Warriors to get them some consistency. But I don't know what's going on at their junior levels, but they've dominated the under-20s for so long.
Yeah.
They're coming last in the under-20s. Manly put 50 on them yesterday at Lotto Land.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
I don't know what's happening. And he said they don't have the equivalent of the jersey flag and the Matthew Shield. So they've had plenty of time to do that, but neglecting it, I think. I think they've just sort of relied on the kids coming through and not a lot of work done.
Which has worked for them previously. Now their eyes are being picked out by other NRL clubs. And, of course, there's competition from super franchises and all of that sort of thing. So it's a competitive market over there. Do you like Daly Cherry Evans, Zorba?
What do you mean?
Well, why wouldn't Queensland pick him in the side, the way he's been playing?
Oh, he's been playing fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was great again yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't understand why he seemingly, if you believe the mail, that they won't pick him. I mean, I Mel Meninga's come out and supported him.
Darren Lockyer said there's nothing against him.
Yeah, well, look, on
he can't
form,
do any more, Zorb, can he?
On form, he's got to be picked. Now, he's playing alongside an organiser at he wears number 7, but he's really. Another half, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's playing alongside an organiser in Blake Green. He'd be playing along a great organiser in Cooper Cronk.
Yes.
He's been at Origin before and didn't let them down. I would think he should be a lay down Mazaire, but there's too many question marks by too many people. He is ready to play. He wants to play. Every time he speaks, he says it would be great, but it's out of my control. All I can do is play and lead Manly the way he's leading them, and he's certainly leading them from the front. I mean, who would have believed outside of probably Bob Fulk, Trent Barrett, and a few other people in the inner sanctum at Manly that the Seagulls would be level with the Sharks and the Roosters and in front of the Broncos and the Cowboys after round 17 of the competition?
Yeah, that's a great effort.
Just back to Friday night, Saul. What did you make of the Storm? Because that was probably their best performance of the season.
Yeah, it was a comprehensive one. But the Storm, I was talking before about how some teams go well against other teams. The Storm have got a great, great record against the Broncos. The Broncos rarely beat them. Yep. And I thought Billy Slater and Cameron Smith. Smith could have played in the dinner suit the other night. He was just, again, I don't know if it's Suncorp Stadium or playing in front of his old home. He was just brilliant again. Mm. And just calmly did everything. Slater's coming back to something like his best. I don't think I've seen two more potent wingers in one side than Vunivalu and Adokar. Speed, leap like leopards. Mm. And when you watch them in the warm-up, it is all precise. I shudder every time I see a small winger, particularly when they're playing Manly, up against Vunivalu, because he's just a magical jumper.
Yeah.
And he's going to score tries. They get the ball inside your quarter, they're going to score tries every time, with Cronk putting the ball on a sixpence and then scoring. The wingers are scoring every time. And Adokar with speed, they're an exciting side.
Yeah, they are. They're great to watch. Okay, we awake this morning to front page headlines in today's Sunday Telegraph. Moneyball, NRL stars win 48% pay rise offer. Now, that there will be a comparison from 2012 payments to 2022. But from a clubland point of view, looks like 8.8 initially and then up to 10 million by the end of the broadcast cycle. What are your thoughts?
Well, I haven't had a chance to really consume it, but it had to happen.
Yep.
I think the players, and we've spoken for many years, guys, about once the Players Association got organised, once they had good leadership, then they would flex their muscle. And right at this moment in time, the senior players in our game are actually the first group of players that I've ever seen in the 50-odd years that I've been associated with the game that really care about the young fellows coming through and want to make the game better for them.
Yep.
And I applaud them. I salute them. If I had a hat on, I'd take it off to them. I think it's great that they're caring about the young players coming through, and they're going to set a standard that hasn't been seen before in our game, and I think it's about time, and I think it's fantastic, and I think the NRL should be shaking in their boots because this mob won't lie down. Another thing I want to just say quickly,
yes.
I thought that penalty against the Bulldogs in extra time the other night was a stab through the heart to the game. We see that penalty not given in games, and then when the game is on the line, let the teams decide. If it's a blatant penalty, it's a high shot, it's a foul, sure, pull the penalty out of the bag, but not in that situation. I think it was, you know, to see a club, great club, go down, let them work out who's the better side, but Eels and the Bulldogs were going at it, and then it becomes a drop kick for the win.
Yeah, which it always does in Golden Point.
It does.
Rightly or wrongly. I don't think
it should be from a penalty like that.
Yeah, well, I didn't disagree with the penalty.
You reckon it was edge?
Yeah, I reckon it was a penalty. I think if you want to look at it, then change the rule.
50,
but as the rule stands, it was a penalty. We better get your zappers, Zorb.
Yeah, it's a tough one today. I don't know what they're going to do. The Knights and the Tigers, they're having a shocking season. Maybe they can put some entertainment on today. They can have a jousting match between people from the Knights and the Tigers at halftime with wooden spoons, because that's what's about all at stake. And would you believe the West Tigers got three Sunday night feature games coming up in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works out. Anyway, I'm going to go. Help. No, I can't go to the Knights. I've got to go to the Tigers.
Tigers.
I saw the Knights last week. They led the Dragons. They looked fantastic. And then I don't know what happens to them at half time. They should stay on the field and don't go in the dressing room. If they're in front at half time, stay on the field. Sit around the circle, talk to each other, and don't go in.
Like the under eights.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So we'll go Tigers plus +4.5, $1.90 there. And remember, even if you're down by 25 at half time, hold your ticket. Hold
exactly
your ticket
right
there. Now, South Penrith.
I think the Panthers are going to make a run.
Yeah.
And I think if they're going to make a run, they've got to beat the Rabbitohs today. Mm. And I think they will. So I'm going to go at the line, the Tigers into the Panthers.
All right. $1.85, Panthers minus 3.5, Tigers plus 4.5. That's your zapper for this week. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Okay, boys, and go the Aussie today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Go the Aussie, absolutely.
Go the horn. Blow the horn.
Blow the horn, that's
see,
right.
By the way, Manly Grand Final 87, Grand Final 97, Grand Final Grand Final 07. Oh. And for those people that believe in lucky seven in a decade, who knows?
Mm.
See you, boys.
You never know.
You are clutching at straws.
They're actually going okay.
Remember when the Bulldogs were... They won it in 84, and they were in it in 94, and then how'd that go
out
in 2014?
All you can say is that the Seagulls are going really well at the moment.
They are.
Trent
they
Burke's
are. It pains me to say that at times when Zorb's on the line, but anyway,
DC
we have to.
DCE playing great footy.
Yeah. Mm. Michael Ward next.
Your business needs a cash injection to grow, but the banks say no.
You need it nice and simple, and they still say no.
You don't want to hand over the deed to your house, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loans subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you can use it towards a brand new ultra high def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
Just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal on anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes ASCO and Mueller. Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au. For details.
Your rock album of the year is just greatest women rock songs with tracks from Baby Animals and Grinspoon, Daddy Cool, Sunny Boys and Models. Just Great Australian Rock Songs includes great Aussie anthems from The Angels, The Easy Beats, The Living End, and Skyhook. Just Great Australian Rock Songs. Grab it now.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddie.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddie killer. So I went for Tab's quaddie cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddie with Tab's quaddie cash out.
Tab, we love a bet.
Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your team or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or wedding ring, or if you want your jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan at Z&Z Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
Choice with the outswinger, and it's got in. Jackson Irvine. He nearly scored in Tehran. He has scored in Sydney. The first international goal for the young midfielder.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Well, I don't think there was a more impressive winner at Rose Hill yesterday, Jim, than Gold Symphony. This horse has really gone to a new level. He was outstanding in the Civic Stakes, and we've got one of the part owners and the syndicators from Triple Crown, Michael Ward, on the line to talk about Gold Symphony. Michael, good morning, and firstly, congratulations. This horse is racing in career best.
Yeah, good morning, Ray and Jimmy. Yeah, absolutely. He's when you talk about him going to a new level, I think we've got to recall that when he was an early three-year-old, he actually won at his third and fourth start a couple of Group 3s when he was trained by Peter Moody in Melbourne. And he was actually one of the early favourites for the Golden Rose as well at that point in time. And just on the eve of it, after travelling up to Sydney, he contracted a very nasty virus, and he ended up going off the boil a little bit for a period of time. And eventually Peter and Paul, who he had transferred the horse to, ended up recommending that we geld him. And this preparation, we've seen him come back a completely different horse, and he's obviously gone to a whole new level.
Mm. And a real momentum horse, as you sort of outlined there, Michael, too, because if we look back at the run in the Stradbroke, you could probably make excuses for him there.
Yeah, definitely. We went in quietly confident, actually, in the Stradbroke. As I said, probably, you know, he's probably back in work about 4 or 5 weeks this preparation, when Peter and Paul Snowden came back to us and said, you know, this is a completely different horse. And we mapped out a plan at that point in time to head towards the Stradbroke. At that point, we thought it'd be ideal on the shifting track, which Gold Symphony likes at Eagle Farm. Things changed, as you know, and we ended up racing at Doomben with a shorter straight and probably not a track that suits him as much. But being a big horse, he does like to get momentum, and in that race, he really got sort of pocketed in by impending the eventual winner. But he really hit the line very well, and you know, he basically vindicated what Peter and Paul have been saying. Mm.
He's almost too good to be racing this time of year, isn't he, Michael? But then on the other hand, he's so good on wet tracks. So you're in that sort of catch-22, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, all year round, though, now, Ray, as you know, the prize money is so good across the board. And, look, if you could, you'd have him racing 52 weeks a year. But it's great that the ATC puts on, you know, this series of races here during the winter as well, that gives an option for a horse like him who has very good soft-track form. Mm. He's raced on it, for example, 7 times, and he's, you know, either won or come second in 6 of those occasions. So he's a pretty good each-way bet at this time of year. But, you know, yesterday's prize money, $150,000. He was coming back from Group 1 company. He always looked the horse to beat yesterday.
Ramorny?
Look, I don't know. We'll just take it race by race. I think at the moment the most likely scenario is that we go to the winner's stakes in a fortnight's time. So back to the same scene of the crime, 1400 at Rose Hill. Again, looks right up his alley. So I think we'll head there next and then just take it. You'll understand this, Jimmy, as the next leaguey, but race by race.
Game by game, race by race.
I thought the boys gave 110% too, Michael, just quietly.
Absolutely. You couldn't ask for any more from
him. Hey, Michael, just finally, can you get Red Zell into the Everest?
Look, I think he's a horse that's very attractive to a lot of people. We've got a lot of interest in the race, you know, it's piquing the interest of most racing enthusiasts. So it's interesting with all the different slot holders. There's, you know, it's driven by, you know, commercial considerations sometimes and also financial considerations by the type of horse that they're looking for. But we have had a few people that have approached us and said that we're very prominent in their thoughts. And, you know, we'd be keen to get the horse there if we are invited.
Mm. Well, full credit to the boys, Michael. Stick to your guns and hopefully things will come up trumps then for Gold Symphony in the future.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks very much, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Ward there from Triple Crown.
You're really practicing that game speak, aren't you?
Yeah, well, he said it. We're just taking it one game at a time. Chautauqua, $4.60 for the Everest. Isn't the Everest excitement building?
It is, yeah.
Any confirmation of Caravaggio?
He's basically coming.
Hang on, what's basically coming?
Well, he's going to run in the July Cup in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And provided he runs well there,
right,
all systems go, James.
$6 now in from $7. Mm-hmm. She Will Reign, $8. Now, Red Zell.
Red's $15.
$15. Spieth. I'd like to see Spieth get a run.
There's people circling there as well.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I see the ATC has a slot.
Yes.
And they've had 25 nominations, mm-hmm, and now they're down to about 12 from overseas.
One of the criticisms was they wouldn't get a full field. That's it.
Well, how ridiculous is that?
They need that consolation race.
What's the first prize go?
5.8 mil or something.
They'll get runners.
Yeah. They need that consolation race for the overflow.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1353 53, the Opaline number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Phil Moss.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
All grounds, all beaten. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight. international racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Winter is here. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than by celebrating Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch while enjoying spectacular views of the home straight. Catch all the racing action, including the listed $150,000 winter stakes. Celebrate Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Book your place today at www.theatc.com.au.
Royce runs onto it. Foul. Advantage played. A wonderful advantage. Jamie McLaren. What a performance.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Now, listen, I have to stand up for this one before we get to our special guest.
You mean Bill business Moss. This time?
No, I do, because producer Jeremy doesn't come up with much during the course of the, what is it, three and a half years that we've...
He keeps this show together.
Allegedly. Anyway, the overflow for the Everest. He's come up with a name for it. What is it?
I love it. The Kosciuszko.
The Kosciuszko. It's burnt, not quite, you know. What did you climb, Everest?
Nah, Kosciuszko. It works.
Yeah. So it works, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
He should patent it. And
too late. It's out there in the universe now. Too late. Can't get it. I tell you what, there was a time when this bloke used to come into the studio. Now, you sign with Sydney FC.
He's a busy man.
You do it from wherever you are. Hello, Phil Moss.
Good morning, guys.
Where are you?
We're having a lot of meetings this weekend about planning for pre-season. The players come back in on Monday morning, so Arnie's got all the staff together, and we've been playing. It's been a lot of talk and a lot of planning and mapping out exactly where we want to go and how we want to get there. So it's been intriguing for me as a newcomer to the staff, and it's no secret when you're on the inside why they such a successful club and the culture is so magnificent because it starts from the top and the staff are all wonderful, wonderful people who do the best that they can at the jobs that they're charged with.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, the countdown's already begun, hasn't it, Phil, for the new season of the A-League and the draw is out. And how does it sort of, the draw look for Sydney FC?
Yeah, good. Look, I think... If we start at the back end, the FFA have introduced two split rounds this season to help out with the Asian Champions League clubs, which is Sydney FC, Melbourne Victory and Brisbane have got the qualifier. And it worked very well last season, the one split round, and that's been increased to two now. So that's a massive bonus for those three clubs. And look, the first few weeks of the competition, massive games. Obviously, we've got our debut on free-to-air TV with Channel 10, taking in simulcast the production from Fox Sports. And it all starts on the 6th of October with Melbourne City hosting Brisbane, but then the Big Blue on Saturday night, Sydney FC, we go down to Melbourne Victory. That should be an absolute cracker. There's the F3 Derby just before that on the Saturday afternoon. And then week two, you go straight into the Melbourne Derby. Week three, the Sydney Derby. So it's a fantastic draw, and FFA, I think, have really got this one right. They've, been criticised in the past for not taking into consideration certain aspects that are so important to clubs and their supporters, and I think they've got it right this season. So you've got to tip your hat to Greg O'Rourke and David Gallop and everyone who was involved in what's a real logistical puzzle to get the draw right.
It's going to be really interesting, the numbers that they post on Channel 10, that free-to-air broadcast. That'll be fascinating from all broadcasters' point of view. Let's have a look at some of the individuals in the game. What's happening with Mark Milligan and his move to Europe?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Jimmy. He's made no secret of the fact he wants to get to Europe. He's got potential suitors in Bolton, Burton and Albion, Birmingham from the Championship. Of course, Jackson Irvine's at Burton. But it looks as though there might be some red tape because of a permit rule. If the national team that you're playing for and you've played over your 75% of games has a ranking of below 50, the permit shouldn't be a problem, but above 50, and there can be some red tape. Now, the Socceroos, and that's in the last 2 years, the average ranking of the national team, the Socceroos have just been a tad over that 50 mark. So there could be some issues for Millsy to get over there. And if that's the case, then he looks either to stay probably in the Middle East or maybe come back to Melbourne Victory, where, of course, Kevin Muscat's made no secret of his desire to try and get Millsy back. He was, of course, their captain when they lifted the trophy a few years ago. So, yeah, watch this space. It's interesting, but it's great to see some of the Socceroos making those moves. You've got, obviously, Aaron Moy, who secured his Premier League future now with Huddersfield. Matty Ryan, of course, with Brighton. Danny Bukovic has left the A-League, as we all know, to go to Genk in Belgium. So there's some Socceroos making their moves, which is great for the national team.
Aaron Moy was happy to stay there, wasn't he, Phil?
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. I broke the bank. And there's some mixed reports. I saw $20 million Australian dollars. I've seen $13 million as far as the transfer fee that Huddersfield paid to Manchester City. But fantastic business by Manchester City. I mean, they picked him up for nothing, and they've sold him for, let's just say, over $10 million for him to become the most expensive ever Australian player after Mark Viduka was sold to Newcastle from Middlesbrough for about $9 million or $9.7 million. So they were very keen to keep him. It's a great move for Aaron Moy. He worked very, very well under David Wagner, the manager at Huddersfield last season, and why try and fix something that ain't broke? So exactly. He should be in for a great season in the Premier League.
Hey, Phil, you might have spoken to Jimmy about this earlier in the week, Australia's performance against Chile in the Confeds Cup. But can I ask you, I thought it was more than a pass mark. It was a terrific effort by the Socceroos.
Yeah, you're right, Ray. And, you know, people are still talking about it. And it really was a performance that, reaffirmed some lost confidence, I guess, in the way the Socceroos were going about things and playing their football. And it's created a lot of debate with Ange Postecoglou going to this back three system when we're playing out back five when we haven't got the ball. But, it certainly showed that there's some promise to what they're doing, and the players started to believe in it. And I think that's the most important thing to come out of the Chile game, is you could see the players starting to believe in what they did. But, I think bringing Jackson Irvine in to the midfield with Masluongo gave them just a bit of extra legs when they were pressing, and they were able to win the ball back a lot better, a lot more aggressively than what they had in the two previous games. And then we did good things with the ball, and that's against the world number four team in Chile,
exactly.
Who are, of course, in the final tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's at 4 a.m. We can look forward to that one. Look, I think I can hear Arnie in the background looking for you to go and pick up some hats. There's some witches' hats that he's put around. So you better get practicing at that.
What would Sunday morning be without a little bit of banter, Jimmy, hey?
Apparently you pick up the green ones and Stevie Corica picks up the orange ones, all right? That's the rules.
I heard someone say you're an ex-leaguey this morning on air.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So you know what pre-season's all about, mate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sausage sizzle on the Saturday morning after training. That's what it is. Good on you, mate. Enjoy that. And we'll speak during the week.
Good on you, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Here he is, Phil Moss, with all the latest from the world of football.
Let's just give those games a plug. Germany versus Chile in the Confeds Cup final, 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. And Portugal versus Mexico, 10 p.m. tonight. To play off third or fourth.
Chile versus Germany, $2.90. Chile draw $3.10, and the German victory paying $2.45 at tab.com.au. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're looking for the fairy tales, Raymond. Mm. Coming out of sport, of course, on the back of, well, we don't know what's going to happen yet, but let's hope.
Could be.
Yeah, let's hope that he does make the fairy tale up there for Jeff Horn. Fairy tales, the horse from Bathurst, Rising Prince. Mm. Winning the 1985 Cox Plate. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
It was Kevin Langby. Him on the
was
show.
That Kevin Langby?
Certainly was.
What, he rode that?
He rode that all the way.
Ah.
Rising Prince. Oh, actually, no, he settled off the pace, came around the leader and won. But, yeah, 1985 Cox Plate.
Yeah, there you go. Fairy tale in sport. Jimmy Smith getting this gig on radio. Regards, Jim. You're right.
Jimmy,
I've been found out.
And actually, it's been remiss of me on quite a sombre note. I should make mention of the passing of Roger Booth yesterday in Darwin from a heart attack. He was, I think, 50 years old. The jockey had been around a long time.
Oh, wow, that's young.
And very sad. And that comes on the back of the very tragic passing of Donna Philpott early in the week, a track work accident down in Melbourne. So once again, it just highlights the dangers of
the
sport.
It's a dangerous sport. Mm. It is a dangerous sport. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get to Darren, who's there. G'day, Darren.
How are you, mate?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Three things, and I'll be as quick as I can. First of all, this cricket scenario.
Yes.
I'm going to be really annoyed, especially if the Ashes don't go ahead, because I've already booked to go down to Melbourne and got tickets and everything. So
great point, Darren.
I won't be the only one.
No.
Yeah. The fairy tale, 94, when we knocked off the Broncos in the Tui's Challenge final.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The third thing I'd like to say, congratulations to Dave Tyrrell, 150 games today, and George Burgess, 100 first grade games. Mm-hmm. And to all the South supporters who wind your mind, we never get a Sunday game. Well, we got one today, so get off your backside and get to the game.
Spot on.
Good call.
Well done, Darren.
Okay.
Good work. Actually, prize stay there, mate. We're going to send you out some CDs, a prize pack coming your way, because you're exactly right. You can't complain. It's three cool, but the weather's fine. There are no excuses. Mm-hmm. There are no excuses. So there you go, Darren. Yeah, that cricketers dispute, that's interesting. Big meeting today in Sydney somewhere, and the fallout could be significant. But Darren's exactly right. How many people have booked trips to Sydney, to Melbourne, to Perth, to everywhere?
Plenty of years in advance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big issue, and it looks like it's going to get ugly. 1353-53, the open line number.
Win bigger with a trackside multi-bet. Combine runners from different trackside games and get better odds. So whether it's greyhounds, harness racing or thoroughbreds that take your fancy, you can select your favourites across all codes. Available for win and place bet types, as well as bundle bet. Look out for the yellow button on the betting terminal at your local tab and place a trackside multi today. Trackside. The game is always on. Gamble responsibly.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out. But the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Big day next week, isn't it, Raymond, the Sunday?
Christmas in July.
Christmas in July. For the best price, Ranger. For the best price.
Don't give us up.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man?
Man from Mazda.
The man from Mazda, Penrith Mazda. Apparently Jamison Town is on the right as you look, and there's Penrith Mazda on the left. So Manly man,
well,
Al.
It depends which way you're going.
Well, if you're
heading
going
towards
heading Penrith, away from Penrith Park to the F4 or M4.
Well, what's on your left? Jamison Town.
Away from Penrith Park to
if
the
heading,
M4.
Heading towards the M4.
Yeah.
Along Mile Goal Road.
Yeah. Jamison Town's on the left.
Correct.
Well, that's where Penrith Mazda is.
Correct.
All right. Mm. So Manly man Al doesn't have a clue what he's talking about.
I know it because I used to run through it all the time.
Oh, there you go. Well, Penrith Mazda has 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. And we can exclusively reveal, Ray.
It's actually 6 acres.
That is.
You've walked
you're
the
right.
entire lot, haven't you?
No. And Penrith Mazda's BT.
We
just got told. Okay. And Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in Cafe Zoom.
Okay.
Zoom, zoom. Mm-hmm. While your car is serviced. That's a good idea. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. They're family owned and operated. Mulgara Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Back it comes to Clement. Clement, the laser ball. Reynolds attacks the line. He's there. This might be the point for this. He gets it down. That's a try. They score finally.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgara Road, Penrith.
13-12. Talk about fairy tales in sport. Ray Thomas leads in the ZNZ quiz after being down 12-6. But 13-12 he leads. If you would like to be part of our quiz today, give us a call right now on 13-53-53 to be a part of our quiz. Remember, a watch from ZNZ Jewellers in the team colours of your choice to the winner.
Mm, yeah, good price. And just before we go to Dino, Jimmy, on our talk topic today about fairy tales and sport, this one's from Tom. Jimmy and Ray, I was at Lord's in late June 1983 when the underdogs India beat the might of the West Indies to win the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
The Windies team was Greenidge, Haynes, Richards, Lloyd, Gomes, Backus, Dujon, Marshall, Roberts, Garner and Holding. India made 183 and then rolled the Windies for 140. Amazing scenes as Indian supporters celebrate. I think the West Indies
Didn't Kapil Dev?
Yeah, went berserk, didn't he?
Yeah.
And didn't the Windies win the first two? The 175 and again in 79. So
correct.
They hadn't lost the World Cup until India rolled them in that
correct. Absolutely.
Amazing game at Lord's in June 90. Well done, Tom. Tom's on the list.
Jim. Good on you, Tommy. Yeah, there you go. Not really writing that down, Tom, but anyway, 13-53-53, the open line
he is,
number.
Tom, trust me.
This man we need to talk to because there are injury concerns for New South Wales and, of course, that new pay deal that's been put together for the National Rugby League players. Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Hello, Dino.
Good morning, men.
Now, I know you're 22nd man for the Origin team. You might get a start.
21st, Jimmy.
21st, sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've squeezed out Andrew Webster there and filled that vital 21st position. In all seriousness, who have we got? Dugan, Frizzell, Cordner, Tedesco, and now I think DeBellin's picked up an injury as well.
Yeah, there's a few on that list, Jimmy. I think they'll all be okay. That's my gut feeling. I had a chat to Laurie yesterday. He wants to name 1 through 17 yet again. He's determined to get there. Frizzell is the one that is having the most concerns. St. George is saying that he's in a bit of doubt. Laurie said he texted Frizzell and Tyson said he was okay. He was fine to go. So, look, if Tyson's ready to play, I think you'll find he'll make himself available. The others are just precautionary at the moment. I think Dugan will be okay. Tedesco's missing today, but he should be fine, as will Cordner. He'll start running either today or tomorrow. And at worst, they'll give him till next Saturday to start training, given the respect they hold for him as captain. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find that DeBellin should be okay as well. He's got a calf strain.
Dino, what are you hearing about changes for either Origin team?
I think you'll find the Blues, provided these injuries are okay, right, will go 1 through 17. There is just a little bit of confusion up north, though. The Blues have been told that Cameron Munster may start in the centres, but that was before Friday night. Of course, he absolutely blitzed the Broncos playing at 6. And then, of course, Michael Morgan was probably going to be picked on the bench. He blitzes the Raiders last night, so he sticks his hand for 6. And, of course, then over in Perth, Bailey Cherevins does the same thing. So, look, if I was a betting man, Ray, I'd say Morgan at 6, Munster in the centres, and Cherry Evans off the bench.
Yeah, I think I'd go with you on that. I think that's probably the strongest combination they could put to the field, too. I think Munster is a natural left-sided player that in the centres would be ideal for that, really competitive. So, interesting to see what they do. Let us know about this new pay deal. Mm. We spoke to Zorba. He is just off the plane, but... your thoughts on it? I think the salary cap at $8.8 million, which is not going to please a lot of people for 2018, but rising to $10 million by 2022.
Yeah, look, overall, Jimmy, the increase in player payments will be 48%. Look, the players, I think, have just got to accept this deal. It's just too good to say no to. Look, you just touched on the cricket dispute. We don't want to go down that path. All other sports around the world seem to be having these similar dilemmas, debates and dramas. Rugby League can do without it. Look, the minimum wage would be up over $100,000.
Good.
That's pretty good, given that the average wage for an Australian is only $80,000. The average wage in Rugby League would go to $300,000. Mm. And, of course, there would be the two or three players in each club would be in well over $1 million. Further talks on Tuesday, but I just don't see how the RLPA, if this deal is presented in the way it's being told in the media this morning, how they could possibly say no to it.
Yeah, no,
well, what would happen then at that point, Dean, is what Ray and I spoke about earlier, and that is that the players would be painted as greedy.
Mm. And lose the PR war.
Yes.
It's an easy target, Jimmy, to use the word greedy for players. Every time there's a pay dispute, the word greedy gets pulled out, and I guess we in the media do it as much as anyone, and throws it at the players.
Mm.
Where the players' argument, there are some good points in there and some points that reflect the game, where we're heading, and in the future.
Oh,
it's a bit like the cricket too. I mean, they're getting painted as greedy, and there are actually some very valid arguments that they're throwing forward.
And by the way, I don't think they're being greedy, but that's how they're painted. So just to clarify.
Mm. Hey, Dino, you got some news on player movements?
Yeah, there's bits and pieces around at the moment, Ray. It never seems to end in rugby league. Mm. There was some talk that Michael Alicia would be released mid-season by the Bulldogs and end up Parramatta. That won't happen now. He'll stay at the Bulldogs for the rest of the year, but I think you'll find he will be on a move after this season. Perhaps that deal at Parramatta will come off, but it will be at the end of the season. Now, the Bulldogs, also looking to shift a couple of big names. Sam Cassiano will go to Melbourne. There was talk that Greg Eastwood would end up at the West Tigers, but I'm hearing that that deal isn't done just yet, and there is some doubts over whether it will be done. So Eastwood has a deal for next year, but I think the Dogs are trying to take him to another club to obviously free up some of their salary cap. Mm-hmm. Nelson Asofa Solomona, the absolute man giant down there at the Melbourne Storm. The Warriors are very keen on poaching him. At the moment, he's given his word that he'll stay at Melbourne, but certainly the Warriors are in there, but he'd be a wonderful buy. And also, just a bit of mail around town about Trent Barrett too, a bit of interest from Baz. It may not be for next year. He's got a deal at Manly, but certainly just a few discreet inquiries as to what Trent's plans are. I spoke to Scott Penn during the week. They, as in Manly, wanted to open up negotiations with Trent around semi-final time, but they may not want to balk too long.
Dino, any changes for the two games today?
Yeah, there's a Knights for the Tigers up there at Newcastle, 2 o'clock. You meet Trent Hodkinson back for the Knights. Brock Lamb goes out. We've spoken about James Tedesco at the Tigers. He won't be there. Kevin Naguama, I'm hearing, will go back to fullback. And Malachi Watini-Zalesniak will come onto the wing. And then there's the big game, 4 o'clock, South Sydney versus Penrith at ANZ. Sam Burgess has a glute problem, but he will be okay. It's Rain Matt Moylan over there at Penrith. They've had the flu a week. They've been quarantined, but they'll be fine for kickoff.
Fantastic, mate. We've got a fly. We've got the quiz coming up. Good job. We'll speak next Sunday.
Thanks, Ben.
See you,
there he is, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, with all the latest in the world of rugby league. So let's get to it, Raymond. ZNZ quiz. We haven't worked out who's one, who's two.
I think it is your turn to open the
batting. Is it my turn to open the batting? Okay, you always do that. There's a suggestion there that somehow you and Jeremy have
colluded. Did you want me to open the batting?
Yes, please.
Would help if we had some questions.
I know the producer, Jeremy, is just running out there to the printer now. look, you know what? You know what he's done? He's rested on his laurels because he came up with that really good idea to call the offshoot the Kosciuszko, the Everest. Anyone who can't make the Everest, you run them in the Kosciuszko.
It's a great idea.
He just rested on his laurels. So he's just printing them right now. So
in other words, we're in desperate trouble.
You're the schmuck. We know who the schmuck is this morning.
You think
morning.
He's resting on his laurels, eh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Just to let people know, give a bit of an insight. You know what he does when he closes the door at 7 o'clock when we go on air? You know what he does?
His famous last words are?
See you at 10 o'clock. John and Cooper, apologies, we'll get to you.
Since successive texts we received from Milkman Yass and Peaky Pete, they've both mentioned the 1974 Amco Cup won by Western Division, being a mighty Penrith pen. Remember that?
Absolutely. Well, I don't remember it, but I did read the book from Ian Hedge.
He's come sprinting in like Usain Bolt.
So Milkman Yass, Peaky Pete, well done.
Both in, and Peaky Pete also mentioned Cliff Young in the City of Melbourne Ultra Marathon.
Oh, that's a great one. Mm. Yeah. Go on, Raymond, you'll play
one. Want me to open first?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
John, you're there.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, thanks for holding on, John.
Sorry, John.
Slight production error, but away we go. Here we go. Question number one, John. Which of these NRL teams ranks higher in try assists? Is it the Titans, the Broncos, or the Warriors?
The Broncos.
It's the Titans, mate. That's okay. Question number two. Here we go. Who ran for the most metres for the Eels on Thursday night? Clint Gutherson, Nathan Brown, or Bevan French?
Nathan Brown.
Yeah, spot on. Well done. Good play. Been a great buy for you.
He's been very good for them.
Question number three, John. Here we go, mate. Which country finished second in voting for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan? Where did he get these questions? Was it Turkey, Greece, or Poland?
Turkey.
Spot on, John. Well done. Outstanding.
Does a country bid for the Olympics or does the city bid for the Olympics? Are we presuming Istanbul?
Clutching at straws.
No, all I'm saying.
It could be all different venues around the country.
Australia didn't bid for the Olympics.
Yes,
Sydney did.
Maybe Turkey, all around the country, not just Istanbul.
Tell you what.
Anyway,
if I lose, there'll be a protest fired in. Cooper, g'day, mate.
How are we?
Yeah, really well. We're running a little late. Sorry, we've had production issues here, Cooper. We're trying to deal with them as best we can. However, let's move forward.
Very unique.
Yeah, very unique. You're spot on. Do you know Jeremy Cooper? No? Okay.
No, sorry.
Which of these NRL teams ranks higher in offloads? The Seagulls, the Raiders, or the Sharks?
We'll go with the Eagles.
Yeah, go with the Eagles. Well done, Cooper. Good job. Who made the most tackles for the Eels on Thursday night? Was it Kenny Edwards, Daniel Alvaro, or Tepei Mororoa?
Mororoa.
Kenny.
He made some mistakes too, Cam.
Kenny.
Didn't he?
He's the rock solid diamond, Kenny Edwards.
Now the dodgy question.
Well, dodgy is one way to describe it. Challenging is another way. Which country finished third? Yeah, here we go. Which country? Might have been a city, but anyway, let's go. Which country finished third in voting for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan? Was it France, Spain, or Ukraine?
Oh, look, we'll go with Ukraine. Oh, no.
Cooper. Sorry, mate. It's Spain.
It was Spain.
John.
Hey, John, you there?
Yeah, mate.
Congratulations, John. Hey, what's your team, John?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, oh, well, you got some joy out of the weekend, mate. There you go.
Yeah, it's about right.
Hang on there, we'll get your details. And score check now, Jim.
Oh, look at you. Jeez. Look at you, the sneaky competitive bloke, hey? Actually, there's nothing sneaky about your competitiveness anymore.
No, it's just a
you
bit
are
of fun.
Out and out ruthless.
No, it's not.
That's a circus. Countries don't bid for the Olympics, cities do.
It's been a while since we had some controversy in the quiz, so it's good. It's
this is